Hiya. If you're seeing two different squares, one of them is Paul Slatkus. He's the other guy on the picture. I'm Joey. I'm the one on the left or the right. I don't know. It depends on where you're looking at this thing. But whatever the case, we've become our own engineers and techies. And I'm my own intern at this point, and I'm paying myself very well. But what happened is our whole country has become showbiz. You know, there was a time when Andy Warhol years ago, who was a wonderful artist and also a genius at painting, and if you need a frame of reference, he's the guy that screwed around with that Heinz ketchup can, or you know that thing. If you remember that, it's one of the few things I remember about him. Plus, he looked like a girl. But that's okay. I ran into him in the theater one time, and I thought it was Goldie Hawn. But it was actually Andy Warhol. But that's my story. Anyway, Andy Warhol said, we will come to the time when everybody is famous for 15 minutes. He was wrong. Now everybody's famous for about a minute and a half. It's a different time zone. And here's the thing about it. My life has been very routine, and I broke all the rules. So now I've become the guy that people look to be this. I'm the stabilizer. I was the one that was the rebel. I was a rebel with a cause. And now all of a sudden I'm the guy that you look at when you want to know what the truth is, and stability and decency, and all of a sudden the comic book turned on me. And as I turn my comic book page, I find the name Paul Slatkus. Now, what did Paul do why do we have Paul up on the screen today? Well, Paul did something very, very unusual. He did what I'm talking about. He went against the grain. A big-time broadcast executive television guy, you know. And he walked away from it to create good news. That's why nobody knows who the hell he is. It would have been better if you said, this is the worst, most vile news company in history, and we're doing nothing but slamming and jamming everybody, and if it bleeds, we're going to lead, and we're going to be the most, we're going to pick Republicans, we're going to tear apart Democrats. Then, Paul, you would be the most famous guy in the country, because people want to see dirt. And you went the other way. You went ahead and gave us decency and good shows and interesting people. How dare you violate all the principles of good sense, which is to, just dish the dirt. That's what they call it in L.A. We used to have a lot of people in L.A. were almost killed, one of whom was Frank Sinatra, because they were making fun of him in Confidential magazine, and he ordered a hit on the editor, and they were going to have Frank killed. You know, I mean, it was going back and forth. Rona Barrett, she was a gossip. She started a lot of things, and she got in the middle of the gunfight. You know, but the people who were doing things that were against the grain got very famous. So, Paul, how are you?
Hey, Joey. I'm fine. Thank you very much. And it's a big honor to get a chance to speak with my good friend, Joey Reynolds. Thank you.
Well, it looks, looking at you, look like you died and went to heaven with all that beautiful light behind you.
Well, you know, I am an interfaith minister, a reverend of all faiths and spiritual, but this, the light has really nothing to do with anything, and anything else has almost nothing to do with anything.
If you look the light has everything, the light has everything to do with spirituality, and you're bringing everybody into the light, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Light is important. In fact, one time when we did the brain series, Joey, for PBS, we put some winter depressives in front of light to show how their hypothalamus on a PET scan early on, National Institute of Mental Health, PBS, the brain. Light really increases the everything in the body. You know, makes the blood cells happy, makes the brain happy. It's good. I agree with you, Joey. That's why you're in Florida.
I got stuck. I came down for a quick visit, and I wound up running into a virus. So here I am. You know, I stayed avoiding New York because you guys had bigger lockdown.
Yes, we have.
You probably felt like you were on Rikers Island the way it was going there.
It's a stressful time in Manhattan. I'm on the Upper West Side, and but it's a beautiful time in other things. Of course, it's a sad time, very sad. and scary. And but you know, we'll get through this, and sad for so many, if not everybody. And but you know, once again, we'll get through these difficult times, and hopefully maybe learn some things and change some things, I hope.
Well, now let's talk about the Good News Network. You left a major job to start this Good News Network, correct?
Well, actually, I left television business, I guess you could say, you know, the network television. I was at CBS for many years, and then Channel 13 many years, PBS, New York. And then a short stint at WNYC, the city station. But actually, I started back in 1985. My own company was really the Chinese that put us in business by saying, why don't you come and help us sell advertising and marketing on our Chinese TV? Because I was the head of marketing for NYC TV at my last position. And that was for ethnic broadcasters. What kept that PBS station, one of the first PBS stations, was they leased out their time to foreign broadcasters. And I found it interesting that, you know, I like working with different multicultural communities because one day I wanted to put my shows on worldwide. And I figured if I did something for them and I helped them. And so we started a multicultural advertising and marketing company in 85. But then in 1998, I got back to more of the television roots, even though I was doing television, though in different languages, to the Good News broadcast, which was always my mission since my All in the Family days in 72 starting, to promote positive, life-affirming content. So I've been doing that now. It'll be 22 years on July 4th.
And I've known you now for a few years since I've been in WOR. That was years ago I first met you. And you and you had put so many good things together. Earth Day for one thing, in Times Square and in Central Park. Right. You closed the park for rural traffic and opened it up for the world. That was amazing.
We've done a couple good things. You know, Joey, I want to thank you. Actually, I just looked at you on the Peace Day event that we do in Times Square on September 21st. And you read, maybe you have it in your pocket. It would be a beautiful thing to share. A quote from Mother Teresa. I just looked at it a couple of days ago before even this call to me. That was a very powerful commentary. What was it? You tell me. That was what an addition into our show.
Well, let's set this up first. You know, you had a peace day in Times Square. Mm-hmm. And you had people from all over doing different things that were relevant to peace.
Sure.
And yeah. I came in there throwing dirt because I'm from the earth. But I came in there with a lot of fun. And you also had a celebration of people who were singing, poets, musicians, clowns. You had everything going on. But Times Square turned out to be that now. It wasn't that then. You opened that door for the comic book land that it became. And the day that you had my friend Bob Asatya and his wife Gloria recreated the World War II era, 42nd Street. And they had done a dance, a big band dance. Remember that?
I did. Spirit of 45, I think we called it.
Yeah, and what was it that the they had recreated the sailor and his wife, the sailor and his girlfriend, who were
kissing the famous love kiss in Times Square after the war was declared finito.
Yeah, I mean that was like the U.S. version of Iwo Jima, you know, the flag that we see all the time with the Marines.
Yes.
But this particular one was the end of the war, and it was the boyfriend and the girlfriend. I don't know if they were married. I think, didn't you have them with us?
I interviewed them, yes, and some of their family. Yeah, they did get married, and they're on our broadcast, goodnewsbroadcast.com or goodnewsplanet.tv. They're just, you can look them up, and it was a beautiful story. It was a beautiful outreach, once again, as there are so many millions of good news content in the world.
Well, what happened with you in World War II? Did you get
World War II, I wasn't born.
I know.
I was born in 49. I missed the war.
So you knew nothing about it. I mean, isn't that the case now with the millennials? They know nothing about all of this history of Civil War, but they're taking statues down. I don't know why. I mean, you can take something down from history that had nothing to do with them anyway. What are we doing?
Well, I don't know much in that regard or whatever, but history does have its importance. There's no doubt about that, on how it was dealt with and what we learned from it.
Well, why do we want to erase history?
Well, some of it's worth erasing.
Yeah. Well, we didn't erase Auschwitz. You know, we kept all the buildings up, and it's a reminder for the Jew to know that this is a terrible tragedy and probably the second or third worst thing since I've been alive, you know, that I ever heard about. And because 9/11, since it affected all of us in New York. And I think the also Hiroshima, that would be another one. There's several of that huge things. I mean, you can't erase that.
Of course not.
Well, so how do you erase Civil War? Well, I mean, that's what made us great. Not the war itself, but the fact that we came to terms and we had a good president and President Grant. So what the hell is the problem?
So what are you speaking in reference to some people wanting to knock down some things and represent that time in our country?
I'm talking about you are the gatekeeper for the good news.
Right.
And the good news is that there is bad news. And for the light to shine, you have to see the dark. And you have to know there's dark, and then the light is what I'm attracted to. But if you don't know about the dark, you are never going to know that you are in the light. You're just going to think everything is in the light, and you won't have the color of life. And that's my opinion, see? Uh-huh. I mean, I don't know what... We were in school. When I was in school, we were learning geography. Then they called it history, and they changed it to social studies. Now, you know, why does everybody always have to change all these names, you know, to make it sound softer? I mean, even George Carlin does a real good routine on all of that. It's it's unbelievable how we want to sugarcoat, because the pain is too much. But the pain is where the action is. That's the prick from the porcupine shows you that you're not supposed to touch the quills. I mean, that's what it is. That's the deal. So why are we honoring somebody who's dishonoring? And you know, the other thing is part of my little speech here. The other thing is that Fahrenheit 451, which was the burning of the books, that was written, I think it was George Orwell who wrote that. I'm not sure. But it's about burning all of the books, and then we don't have a sense of anything that we have to consider to be in the way of our progress or for us to have commonality. And I think the exciting part about life is we don't have that. We're not the same. I live with my ex-wife. She's not the same. She's not the same as when I married her. I'm not the same as when... you know, our relationship's different. And is it supposed to be always like the same? I mean, should I be a cartoon? It's amazing. Well, go ahead.
Well, I you know, the only thing about the same, this is my take on same. And I think it's an important take, okay? Not because I'm saying it by any means. It's by the gift of however human beings were created. And there's what we call, believe historically, we state that human beings are Homo sapiens and the species. And I like to actually, in essence, speak on that subject. Only, not much to say. We are all related. We're all... All I got to say is we're all related, we're all brothers, we're all sisters, no matter what you want to say. You know, all the colors, the religions, the creeds, the countries, all some of these segregations of us human beings still cannot take away the fact that we are all brothers and sisters, if you want to call it brothers and sisters. We all, and I think that if we can get our mind and our conscience around that, as a human race with all the humans, then a lot of these concerning scenarios, from countries to the religion to the colors of skin and all these things, maybe we'll say, well, those are really just kind of add-on situations. So we're brothers. We should just love each other, period. That's it. That's the end of my whole thinking.
Well, no, that's not all of your thinking. As I understand it with you, you have a lot of thinking, but I'm really impressed with the fact that you have been able to synopsize it. You know, I mean, I have to go on for an hour and a half before.
I don't know how well I did. I just wanted to have a party. You know, the Peace Day party is where I want to have. I want on September 21st at 12 noon, everybody in the world to hug each other and make love and enjoy each other.
Not now. You can't. You got to distance yourself.
Well, yes, of course. But, you know, just that's what I've been working for, to see everybody on the same page and in harmony.
Well, you've achieved that. We do that for a day. Now how do we do it the other 364?
Yeah, well, we don't even do it on a day. But I'm happy I learned I wanted to stop the world. Then I wanted to pause the world. And this is for many years. If we get 10 seconds, we get 1 minute on there is a day, and a day was declared at the United Nations International Day of Peace. So whether you believe in the United Nations or you don't, it's still at least a day that 193 country representatives to the United Nations agreed to a day of peace. So I've just put my efforts into this day. And hopefully we can just on that day start. You know, it's just something to talk about, something to market towards, to have a day for peace international. September 21st is declared. They say two or so billion people are aware of it, and so we're trying to help strengthen that message. So that's a big part of it. In addition to our good news shows.
Yeah, did you ever accomplish your purpose of starting this network? Did you achieve that?
Well, yes, I've started the Good News Broadcast or Good News Planet on the internet. You know, we have 4,000 or 5,000 shows on YouTube. We've done what we've done. Now we're actually doing live shows during this period. It kind of forced us into a different kind of a content. So I've gone Facebook Live and then put it on YouTube and other places. A half hour television show every day. I've done about 120 hours since April 8th at my home in Manhattan. And then rang the bell at 7 o'clock with my neighbors on 79th and 80th, which is very beautiful, or wherever I was. Everybody, even down by Riverside Park or even in the streets on Broadway, people were appreciative, are some people always, right, of the people, the heroes that are out there. And I like to also expand it more than just the heroes here and the hospitals here. I like to expand it worldwide. Right now, somebody in Africa is not getting a glass of water. So I think we got to think worldly, because we are worldly. We are brothers and sisters all around the world. And we got to run the place a little bit better than we're doing right now.
That's no, we're separated by everything. But the electronics has separated us too.
I think that's going to save us. I think this little telephone is going to help save us, because you can get remember we used to have satellite trucks? We'd have tons of equipment to make something happen. You can do a live show for the world on the phone. If everybody in some of those countries agree to accept the signals, you could get to 3 or 4 billion people with the phone.
And it's ruined some lives too.
I'm sure it has. You know, media can help you, or it could hurt you very quickly too, because it's once again somebody watching a message. It's not the entire message, and it always also depends on that person's perspective of life, right?
What do you think of the commercial television right now?
I like commercial television. You know, it's very vast. It's loaded with content. You have the traditional networks. You have the cable networks. I mean, you got more communications out there than Carter has pills. I don't know. So it's a ton of stuff out there. I mean, everybody finds what they like. I mean, I love a lot of it personally because I like television. I'm a boob tube guy. So I think there's a lot of stuff. There's not my taste in a lot of things too. So I try to stay away. I don't like bang, bang, shoot 'em ups of any kind. And I'm watching the Disney Channel last night. I'm a grandpa.
Well, they're being taken down too. People are saying that Bambi shouldn't be shot. That's an animal activist group. You know, I mean, people are finding fault with everything all the